Welcome back to Surviving Me, where we speak the truth even when it's tender. This is part two of my conversation with Ashley. If you heard part one, you already know the depth she carries. In this episode, we go even deeper into the ache of being loved but not fully met. This is for the woman who gave her all to someone who cared but couldn't grow, for the one who felt chosen but not kept, and for the mother, the partner, the healer, the human who's learning to stop shrinking for people who only sees parts of her. So let's talk about the pain of almost and the freedom of letting go. The topic is called When They Love You But Can't Meet You. And we're back with Ashley. Ooh, and this episode is about one of the hardest things to accept. When someone loves you but still can't meet your emotional needs. When their love isn't bad, it's just not enough. So let's talk about the grief of unmet expectations and learning to release people without villainizing them. Like, it's no beef, it's just you just wasn't for me. You know, we on two different levels. So have you ever had to walk away from love because it couldn't meet you where you were at that time?
Oh, yes, I did. I walked away from, to be honest, both of the baby daddies. The first one from Chicago. We're going to talk about him because that's the one I just was like, you know what? I can't do it no more. Like I said, I had been messing with him from 2015 all the way up until I met my son's dad, which was, what, in 2020. So it was a long ass time. But
that is a long time.
I don't know. Like, he just couldn't meet me in no type of way. Like, emotionally, mentally, I ain't gonna say financially, because, you know, he did what he could do when he could do it. But it's a matter of, okay, he was in Chicago. He lived in Chicago. I lived in St. Louis. I would go to Chicago. Not, I didn't want to say solely just for him. It just was for me. Like, I love Chicago. That's my home away from home.
Yeah.
And I would rather be there than St. Louis. So I literally would come back, come to St. Louis to come work, you know, pay my bills, make sure my house cool, boom, and then go back up there with him. This was every weekend I pretty much was there. And it's like paying bills in St. Louis for no reason because I basically lived in Chicago.
Right.
But when it came time to, okay, I'm tired of doing all this traveling to Chicago, you need to come to St. Louis sometimes. Couldn't do that. I want to say when I got pregnant, you know, that was my first pregnancy, first baby. Couldn't be there emotionally. When I lost the baby, wasn't there emotionally. So, like, I had no choice but to let it go. Because, like, at this point, you served me no purpose.
That part. So it was just like, what am I gaining from you at this point? Like, what benefits are you giving to my life? Other than, you know, causing me pain or stressing me out.
That part.
I totally get that. And that'd be hard. So, how did you learn the difference between effort and alignment?
Effort will be doing it, and you ain't doing it. That mean I'm cool. Like, you don't even want to make no type of effort to even not do what I say, but like, if you can't meet me
halfway,
like how I meet you and show up for you, then I'm cool. So
at least meet me halfway. Didn't say come the whole way, but at least we could meet in the middle.
That part.
So what does emotional availability mean to you now versus before?
You said emotional availability.
Yeah.
Like, when you say emotional availability, I'm going to say, for me, that means, like, you ain't got to, like, come through for me. But, like, even if I'm just sitting here, like, having a bad day or want to talk or just show up for me. You could just sit and hold the phone. Or you could just come through, like, I don't know, show some sort of emotion, like, oh, I'm sorry you had a bad day, like acknowledgement for me.
Yes.
If that makes
sense. No, that makes perfect sense. So basically just sometimes just simply being a listening ear. Sometimes that's really all it be.
Pretty much.
Period. And actually, like, being genuine, because it's, all right, so, because I feel like it's a difference. Is you got the people that literally are there to be listening ear and just really, truly hear what you got to say and just be there. But then you got other people that's just that's literally trying to hear what you got to say. But just to be nosy. So, like, literally genuinely be there. Like, just listen. Not to just be trying to be all up in my business.
Or listening just to respond.
That's
another big one. That's a big one.
That part. Like, you're not even really hearing what I'm saying. You just ready. How you got an answer already? You ain't even hear me.
And that's that was my Chicago baby daddy. That's what he was.
No, for real. Because some people be cracking me up. Like, how you got an answer already? You wasn't even listening.
That part. That part.
So, when was that moment that you had to accept that their love just wasn't enough?
After I lost my first baby. And I guess that miscarriage kind of woke me up. Like,
yeah,
he ain't for you, baby. Let's just go on slide back to St. Louis.
Like, girl, what are you doing? Wake on
no,
up.
For real.
It was a
like,
sign.
What have you been doing? What have you been doing? That was the question.
But are you a type of person who believes in signs?
Oh, hell yeah. For sure. And a lot of times we ignore those signs. And with him, for sure, I ignored a lot of red flags and a lot of signs. It's plenty of signs there to show me I should have been left and went on about my business. But I did, because it was excitement of talking to, you know, a dude in another state and having an out of town,
very,
you know, man.
Exciting. That's very
Chicago, period. It was exciting for me. But I don't know. Yeah.
No, I totally get that. So it's like, the out-of-town love is different. For all the ones who haven't had that experience, I'm not going to lie, it's very exciting. Like, it gives you something to look forward to.
Very
like,
much so.
It's just very fun. And because you literally have to plan everything as far as, like, what y'all going to be doing. And when y'all going to, like, it's just fun. I truly.
But yeah, and that's the thing with us, though. I can say a lot of the times, though, with me and him, it was more like a, every time I came up there, it didn't matter. YOLO. Like, we just basically wake up, have the day play out. That's how it played out. That's what did it for me, because I personally, myself, like, here in my life in St. Louis, I don't necessarily like to make plans. Mm-hmm. Because plans don't go accordingly, no way. You know, you're really not in control of nothing. So,
right.
Whatever happens, is just like how I like to do things. I don't like to be on a time frame or time constraint. So, I don't know, we just used to wake up every day like, shit, what we getting into? That was very much so fun for me.
You know, that really do sound fun, though, because you never know. Like, we just going to see where the day takes us type thing.
That part.
And whatever happens, happens.
Because for me, it was an adventure every day.
Love that.
For sure.
Love that. I be feeling like, I don't know. And it's funny because you always be having that that most fun right before you get pregnant. And then you get pregnant and be like, oh, okay. Like, how am I supposed to be doing all this with a baby?
That part. That's when the realization starts setting in too. And you get to reflecting and thinking like, damn, is he going to be a good daddy? Damn, what is this going to be like? Like, yeah. I had that moment too.
No, for real. You really got to think about stuff like that. It really do click. Because once that baby, once you find out you're pregnant, for me, it was like a whole life. Everything just flashed in my head like, okay, now it's time to get serious. There ain't no more playing no more. Like, you know, like,
right.
I can't just be like, oh, you know, we just gonna go or whatever. No, I need a plan. Because this baby is coming regardless. Like,
therefore, a baby gonna force you to plan out your life or get shit in order.
Like, it's like, okay, so you gotta get stuff together now.
Mm-hmm. Ain't no more fairy to living in La La Land, fairy land, none of that.
Get
shit in order. But my baby daddy, my second baby daddy, that was the opposite. The thing with him was, so I feel like once he found that I was pregnant, okay, yeah, the excitement is there. Like, ooh, yeah, I'm about to have my first child. Mm-hmm. Da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. But once the baby actually got here or was about to be here, because he kind of felt clowning before my baby came, I'm going to say the realization starts setting in, like, damn, I'm about to really be a daddy. Somebody about to really look up to me. I'm about to really, you know, be the one in control or, you know, in control of somebody else's life.
I
feel like that's what made him maybe run.
Me, could have. Like, I mean, that is scary.
Yeah. So I would say for some men, you know, some men to stand up and be like, okay, I'm really going to get my shit together. My kid,
period.
My kid about to run away. And you got others that's like, damn, I don't know shit about a kid. I still got life to live.
Okay.
Or whatever their reasons may be. And I'm not just feel like my son's father. His whole idea was like, damn, okay, I ain't really got a chance to really live because I've been locked up all this time.
Yeah.
I finally got a jail with him when I knew I wanted a kid, but now that the kid finally here, damn, I don't know what to do. That's just what I feel like it was for him. So,
I get that, because as a man, I can see why that's scary, especially if you feel like what you said, for it, you know, like that kid is going to look up to you and stuff like that. And if you feel like as a man, you're not really a person that you will want someone to look up to, per se.
She said
some men be like, you know what, even if I don't got it together, I'm gonna get it together, you know, like, because I have no choice. Like, this baby is here and this baby is gonna look up to me regardless if I got it together or not, so why not give them something to look up to?
Right.
Period. I guess it really just depends on the type of man you are and how you was raised and stuff like that.
That point. that fucking part.
But that's why I said, like, how they treat their mama is important to me now. Like, with your relationship with your mama and what y'all got, that's important to me. Like, at first it really wasn't that deep, but now looking
Everything is that deep. The older you get, you'll realize, like, what you just got through saying, the relationship with his mama, I probably would have been able to be like, okay, you know, I do know he loved his mama. I'm going to give him that. But the fact that, you know, she kind of was taken away from them when they were younger. And then I'm going to say he kind of was taken away from her when he was younger because, you know, she was on drugs or whatever. And then she had all these kids, like 8 or 9. And she had 8 kids. Yeah, 8 kids. And one of them died when they were younger. And then you got him and then other siblings. I think his dad had 2 kids by her. So, of course, them two were separated and went with their dads. And the other 6 went to foster care. So, it's like, you got to deal with, okay, or no, she had 9 because them two. And then it's like, okay, yeah. So, then you got them two that's with the daddy living a good life. Or so they think, you know, and when she was, because I'm getting wrong, the daddy's daddy side, they stepped up, looked out, and did what they need to do for theirs. And then the other kids, like I said, went to foster care and shit. And it's like, he also dealing with that, you know, mentally on top of being a new daddy. Like, I don't know. It's just so much stuff.
Yeah.
And I do feel like maybe had I like tripped off of it a little more, or maybe if I don't know, thought it was a little more serious, I probably could have helped him get into therapy and like sort through all of that. But I think I probably more needed to be done.
Yeah. Seriously. Like healing. Damn. More healing and stuff needed to be done. Before y'all decided to, I totally agree with that.
Because people don't heal enough, and I feel like a lot of people look at their childhood stuff as like, oh, that happened when I was a child, it doesn't matter. But it does. If you didn't deal with that as an adult, it's just going to carry into your adult life, and it's just going to mess up your adult life because you're carrying around all this trauma and all this bad stuff that you didn't deal with as a kid. And I don't know how people think that, like, okay, even if it happened as a kid and you was young then, that don't mean those same emotions or same feeling, that same trauma is not following you as an adult. How did you grieve that connection without letting it turn into resentment for him?
I don't know. I think about my son the most. Like,
period.
You can't really fault a person for, you know, what they done went through in life or how they grew up, because it ain't his fault at the end of the day.
Right.
So it's like, I mean, I can't hate what you got going on and what you done been through, because that's your story. Like, you know, that's what brought you to the person you are today.
Right.
I don't know. It's mainly for my son. I can't have no ill will feelings. I can't, you know, I just can't do that with him. So whenever he does decide to come back, it's just gonna be like, okay, you did what you did, it is what it is. You can apologize for it, because I'm damn sure I'm waiting on an apology. But I ain't got no ill will feelings. Like, I think he probably think I have. Like
hate him.
I'm fucked up. I think he believes that I hate him, and I don't.
That's good.
I don't hate nobody. I feel like I'm too blessed to be, you know, hating somebody. I done woke up, my son alive. Like, we healthy. We got a roof over our head. There's nothing for me to hate you for. Like, you know.
I know that's right. And honestly, Ashley, that was so mature, so strong, because honestly, a lot of people in your situation do be having resentment for their baby dads and like really do be hating them. So I could see why he would think that you may do, because like you said, this was both of y'all first kid and he's just not in your kid's life at all. So a lot of moms do be like, damn, like you really ain't shit. Like, you know, but so the fact that you could look at it from a different aspect is so mature. I love that.
Don't get me wrong. I did think that at first, but it's like, okay, can't be really mad because I still have a support system outside of him. Not only my family, but his family, like, steps up a lot. Like, his dad's side comes through a lot for my baby. So, it's like, okay, at least they holding it down for you until you get your mental together and come back for your son. Like, it's okay. I mean, don't have a choice but to just move along. You need to be mad and bitter. I know,
that's right. Cause who's do the bitter baby moms?
Okay.
Nobody.
She's gonna get done. Mommy gonna step regardless. It's gonna get done.
Exactly what she said. Mama gonna step regardless with or without you. So, baby, there's no need in being bitter. Shit don't work out and it do hurt and you do be mad, but it's no need to stay in that. Y'all gotta learn to move on. Like, sometimes people begin stuck in places, and that does nothing mm-hmm. for you. Being bitter and mad is a whole lot of energy. I don't think people realize that. It's a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
So what does staying in that kind of love teach you about your needs going forward in your next relationship and your future relationships and stuff like that?
I don't know. For me, it's going to be, I just feel like the next relationship, I'm going to need that person to, I don't know, be on their shit, like,
period,
emotionally,
period,
mentally. Forget the financial aspect of it. I want you to be together financially too, but the mental and emotional part is a very big thing, just like communication is a very big thing in a relationship.
Yes.
That's the thing. Come healed, please.
Period.
I don't think I got it in me to be your counselor, your what is it? Like
your therapist
and your mama. Like, no, I ain't got it in me. Have your shit already in order so we can move to the next level in life. Like,
So that's what you feel like that relationship taught you? Like, mental health is important.
It's real. Yes.
Yes.
My baby daddy even taught me mental health is a real fucking thing. It really is. And in the Black community, needs to get it together, because I don't know, I think therapy probably would have saved a whole lot of anger and aggression as far mm-hmm. as how the shit played out in the beginning, for
mm-hmm.
sure.
Mm-hmm. And that, and like she said, like the Black community, I don't know why y'all look at therapy and like dealing with y'all trauma is so taboo. But yeah. I think we should dead that this year. Like, sure, let that stay sure. And it's like dead that, okay? Like, because therapy helps, y'all. I know a lot of people be like, oh, therapy don't help, I'm just talking to a stranger. But honestly, sometimes that's all it takes. It's just getting it out and just letting
a stranger's viewpoint as to what you done went through, for sure. Because they biased and you know, they findings of what they feel like is going on with you. You got somebody on the outside looking in, so it's that like,
part,
okay,
That part.
To take some advice from somebody you don't know.
No, for real. And like that was the biggest thing she could have said, like the outside looking in part. Because sometimes when you're in a situation, you miss a lot of stuff because you're in it. Mm-hmm. Like you're in mm-hmm. it, your emotions are in it. And a lot of times emotions can cloud how you view things, how you perceive mm-hmm. things. So when you talk to somebody that literally have no emotional ties to you, literally, they don't really care, you know, whether you do or don't do what they say. They're literally trying mm-hmm. to, they're hearing what you're saying and they're telling you what it is from anybody else looking at it that's not in it emotionally. And I feel like that's the best type of people, because like you said, like she said, they're strangers. They don't really, you know, they don't care regardless of whether you take what they say or not, whether you're talking to somebody that care about you. They'd be a little biased. You know, they're going to be on your side.
You know what they see. You know, period. Back from what you're telling them.
Period.
They think.
Period. So long story short, go to therapy. Like she said, go to therapy and come healed.
And come healed, that part.
So get into the last question. What does it mean to love someone but still choose yourself more?
What does it mean?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go back to basically you have to care more about your self-worth than theirs. Like my baby daddy, I love my son's daddy to life. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what it is. I feel like that's my soulmate. That's love my that. What's the word? Because you know that people don't say soulmates anymore.
Your twin flame.
Twin flame. Boom. There you go. Yeah, my twin flame. I just feel like he was all of that. Like, I don't know. I felt like, what's the word I'm looking for? At home with him, like something love about that. Him was familiar.
Like just,
like, I just feel like we were supposed to be. Yeah, like we just were supposed to be type shit. Mm-hmm. I don't even know.
It's no, wild, I get that, because you don't feel that with everybody
at all. Yeah,
you do not feel that in every relationship. So I could see why you like no, like this the one, because I never felt this with anybody else. So you have to be the one.
Yeah, and I really wanted him to be. And he may still be, you know, he's just kind of fucked up mentally right now. Yeah, that's why I said, hopefully, you know, I pray for him. He come to whatever it is he's battling and going through. Get that shit worked out, because at the end of the day, your son needs you.
And
I would love to say that I need you because I need my family. But at the end of the day,
that part,
I still chose me. So
that part, but you still handling stuff. I get it. I get the whole saying, like, you, because what person don't. I don't think nobody have a kid by somebody and don't want their family to work.
That's what I say. It just don't make sense.
It
does. You heard popping kids and popping your coochie for no reason. Like, I don't understand. I'll never understand that. My end game was always to be with the nigga that I laid down with and had to
that
with.
Part. Like,
that was always my end goal. Start a family. Because ain't shit out here, like, at the end of the day.
It really
is. If you really think about it, there is really nothing to life outside of creating your little family, you know what I'm saying, and being with your family and raising your kids. There's nothing else.
I totally agree. Like, nothing is more important to me than, you know, like you said, raising my kid and being a family. Because all this other shit, all that money shit, all that none of that matters when it comes to, like, the family that you build. That type of love and that type of happiness will always be stronger than all that material shit. And, like, baby, it hit different. So, yeah, when people be like, I hate the notion that people be saying, like, oh, you laid down with them, you knew what you was getting into. Okay, that may be true, but you don't. No. You really, truly don't.
No, that's that. Now, that I hate that saying, because just because I laid down with them, do not goddamn know what I was. Granted, I thought I knew the person, but once again, once you have kids and people change. I hate to say they show their true colors. Whether it's good or bad, but people change once a kid comes into play.
And
what my baby daddy tell me, my son's father told me, yeah, I got you. He basically said he trapped me. He said, I got you. I trapped you. I got you pregnant on purpose because I knew you would be a good mama. Like, that mentality, too, pisses me off.
No, for real. Because people be trying to be like, men don't trap. Like, only females trap. And that's not true.
Men do too.
Men be trapping, especially the good ones. Men trap the good ones quick and fast. Don't get it twisted.
That part, I was just going to say that part. They trap the good ones because they feel like, okay, from his standpoint, it's like, okay, well, damn, if I give you a baby, I know I'm going to always have you in my life.
That part.
And that is what they real life be thinking. I heard it from my baby daddy's mouth firsthand. So, yeah, niggas try bitches too.
That is exactly what they be thinking. They like, you know what? This is the only way to guarantee that no matter what we go through, we always gonna
A bond. We always gonna be linked. I can always pop up, come around. Yeah, that's exactly what they think. For sure.
Okay, for sure. So don't get it twisted, ladies. Men be out here trapping. Okay? Mm-hmm. Men be trapping. And it's a lot of people who have kids now because they got trapped. Some females just don't believe in abortion. I know people be like, it takes nothing to go get an abortion, but some people don't believe in it. And people don't want to be wanting to put their body through that. I know I didn't. Mm-hmm. And that was the main reason why I chose to keep my kid too, because I didn't want to put my body through that. That's a lie. Yeah. People don't talk about how getting an abortion, people be making it seem like, oh, it takes nothing to go get an abortion. And you're right, it do take nothing to get rid of a baby. But y'all not thinking about, like, the mental, where your mentality gonna be at, how your body may feel after that. Like, it's just a lot with that. So,
I mean, but even with that, it still comes emotional trauma, trauma. Same thing, like, we having a miscarriage. Like, I was sad and depressed for a long time. Like, it's still...
I never went through a miscarriage, so I really don't know exactly the emotional thing it takes on y'all, but I know it's hard. Because it's kind of like losing a kid that's alive. Like, I'm talking about, like, if you have your kid now and they was to pass, I know that's hard. Like, even though I never experienced losing a kid, I know losing a kid is hard.
Well, see, that'll be kind of like, I mean, not to say now one of them hurts, but the stillbirth, that's like you carrying your baby, giving birth to the baby, and then, you know, the baby, of course, is dead. Yeah. You know, still.
But, that is crazy.
That's a whole other trauma for itself. But the miscarriage, the pain that comes along with that, it hurts so freaking bad.
Really? Like a cramp?
It hurts worse than giving birth. Girl, I think it's a little worse than a cramp. The pain is indescribable. Like, and then it goes on for days. Like, it lingers until, damn, like, all of it is out of you. Girl, I don't wish that pain on nobody.
Couldn't imagine, because you never expect it to happen, one. And then when it do happen, I feel like it'd be so, like, oh my God, like, how did I lose this baby, you know?
That and that's the thing. You get to, it'd be too many questions. Like, that's the mental part, what I'm saying. The toll that it takes on you after you have a miscarriage, you always go back to wondering, damn, why, or you find yourself being like me, I'm like, okay, I would have had two kids. My son would have had a sibling. He would have had a big brother. Like, I don't know. It's just the what ifs, the...
What it would have been like. And the thing, like, oh my God, this baby would be this age at this time. Yeah. Like, we talk about how the woman feel, but I couldn't even imagine how the man might feel in that aspect as well. Like, yeah, it's hard on a woman because it's in your body, but imagine about that man too.
And you know, I ain't gonna lie. I thought I didn't give a fuck. Can I cuss? Cause I just
been cussing. You can. Go ahead,
girl. I didn't give a fuck about his feelings. Chicago had me fucked up. Fuck you. I'm out of here. And he eventually told me. Matter of fact, it was this year. He ended up reaching out to me. You know, cause I ain't gonna lie. Once I had that miscarriage and I like cut him off, the cutoff was cold turkey. It wasn't no, okay, Thedo, I think I'm just gonna go back to St. Louis and Thedo, his name is Thaddeus, but I call him Thedo. So it was like, it wasn't me telling him my plans. It just was literally me, baby. I packed up one day, never heard from me, blocked on all socials, cell phone, like couldn't get through. So then it got to damn, okay, what happened? Let me have my mama call her. I ignore her calls for years. So from 2020 all the way up until 2024, we're gonna say 4 years later, I finally let him reach out to me and have a conversation. And this year he kind of expressed to me like, that was fucked up. Like, you didn't think I had feelings when it happened. You didn't think I cared. Like, you just left how you did. I didn't even want you to leave. He's like, it wasn't even safe for you to leave. Like, I think I left the next day. I probably shouldn't have left the next day, but I did.
Yeah.
Like,
you were just in your feelings. Yeah.
And I was hurting and bleeding. I really ain't had no business being on that road, but I did.
She was like, I gotta get up out of here, period. I just gotta get up out of here. But that's crazy to even think. So when he did come back eventually and like basically let you know,
they
like,
always
damn,
come back. They always come
they
back.
Do. They that's why I said eventually. I didn't even say if they do. Cause they do. They come back. They but when do. He did come back and basically let you know, like, damn, that really affected me, how did it make you feel? That the miscarriage did affect him.
I mean, it was shocking. It was.
It was.
Because, you know, men ain't... at least I'm not used to men. But, yeah, it was shocking. It very much so was. Because I wasn't expecting that. Like
damn.
That's how he felt. Like, he didn't give a fuck.
If you didn't block him and he would have told you back then, would it have changed anything?
Probably not.
Okay.
I mean, because the damage is already done. Baby was already, you know, lost. Like, I don't know. Not saying that was even his fault, but I think I probably blamed it on him too for a long time for stressing me the fuck out. But
yeah.
One thing I can say about my life, I don't regret not a goddamn thing I done went through from the time I was. Hey, I feel like I started going through shit when I turned 14. That's another story for another day, too. I don't have no regrets, none whatsoever. Everything I feel like that I done been through in life shaped me into the person that I am today.
And it. And that's how I live my life. I really don't have no regrets. Like, everything I did it because I wanted to do it. And, you know, like, even if it wound up being a negative outcome, like, okay, cool.
Right. You still learn something from it. Still experience something from it.
That part. So I still gained something. Even if it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to turn out, it still wasn't no... law at the end of the day. I think that's what people come into regrets when they feel like, damn, it didn't even work out how I wanted, so it's a loss. It's never a loss because, like she said, you learn something from everything you go through. Everything
you
go
through. And if you don't, that's how you turn back around and you repeat the cycles until you learn from the test, basically.
So, I don't know about y'all, but that episode, that was the last question. I know a little dragged on me to talk about something else, but that's what happens when you get into, like, the meaty, great conversations, which I love. And I'm so, every episode, I take the time to thank the guests because you didn't have to come and you still came. I mean, you still showed up anyway, and I love that. I met because she's on the same team as me, and it was just like, once we started talking, the connection was just there, and I just love.
Yeah, like, she hella cool.
Thank you. And I just love, like, she's just super real. Like, okay, she give it to us straight. Even in the team meetings, baby, she give it raw, and I just love that about her.
That's the only way to be. I'm sorry.
She lives in her truth, like,
truly. And it wasn't a better person I couldn't think of having to come on this podcast to talk about these topics, or just to have a guest on a podcast in general, because this podcast is about living in your truth. And like I said, she is the definition of living in her truth, baby. So thank you so much for coming, and hopefully you can come back. Like she said, it's a whole bunch of topics we could dive into. But this is just to start it off. So hopefully this won't be the last time you all hear from Ashley, because she's a vibe for sure.
I love talking. I was just thinking, baby, I might start my little TikTok. TikTok stories? Oh, baby, I might as well make a check, because I got stories for days.
Okay, you might as well. And best believe I will be tuning in, because I love her stories, y'all. End it off, I always ask one question before we completely go. And the question is, if you could speak to the version of you that settled for less than she needed, what would you say to her now?
Girl, don't take no bullshit. The first red flag, the first sign that you get, just be done. Don't give no chances. Like you said, don't date for potential. Don't love for potential. Know your self-worth. I mean, I don't know. I feel like if you know your self-worth, it'll all work out for you, whether good or bad.
Period. I totally agree with that. Knowing your self-worth is setting boundaries and having standards. And
that part.
You have to have stuff that's just deal breakers at the end of the day. And once those deals are broken, go. Don't get second chances. That means you broke. That's a deal breaker. Deal breakers is just that. That means it's done. You chose to break that deal. It's over. There's no second chances. No.
Yep. That part.
If this conversation with Ashley spoke to you, don't keep it to yourself. Share it with someone who needs the reminder that love should feel safe, whole, and mutual. Tag us at survivingme_ with your favorite takeaway. Subscribe Blow Letter on Substacks for a deeper reflection. And please leave a rating and a comment wherever you listen. It helps push the podcast to others who need it, and it truly means the world. And also make sure you're following Surviving Me, so you never miss a new episode that dropped every Tuesday and every Thursday. Jumping right on in to the Glow Letter to Self. To the version of you that waited to be fully seen. The one who hoped their love would grow into readiness. This is your reminder. You are always worthy of being met where you are, not where they feel comfortable. Their inability to meet you doesn't make you too much. It just means you were never meant to shrink into someone else's delay. Ashley, thank you for your honesty and softness you brought into this space. And to those still waiting on love to show up fully, maybe it's time to get that energy back to yourself. So, y'all know, like I always say, no matter what page of feeling you're on, you're not alone and you're not behind. Keep going through it, keep growing through it, and keep glowing through it. And keep surviving you. And I'll see you next episode.
I've battled the silence, I've wrestled the shame, faced all my demons and called them by name. This ain't for sure, it's deeper than deep. I'm surviving me, not losing sleep.